Guto, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Of course, my pleasure. A good vach, Beryl. Good vach, Yehuda. Good vach, David. Let's go. Sorry, I know I'm a little bit delayed, so let me get right to it. So we just read in the Torah today, Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh is all about the holiday of Pesach, which is approaching, and the month of Nisan. So I wanted to share with you a story of the Baal Shem Tov about the holiday of Pesach. Come here. I want to tell you a story. Come closer. Rosie, bring her closer. I want to tell you a story. Come, bring her closer. I want to tell you a story. Come. I'll tell you a story. Come closer. Come closer. Come. Come. Tell you a story. Okay. The story took place in the year Tavkuf Yud Zayin or Tavkuf Tez Zayin, in time of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov, his path in serving Hashem was always with great joy. Every mitzvah he did with great joy, and certainly the mitzvahs associated with the holiday of Pesach, which is in general is a time of joy, were certainly done with great, great happiness. So this year, though, Baal Shem Tov, when it came to Mincha on the 13th of Nisan, when it's customary to draw water for the matzahs, so Baal Shem Tov, yes, that time was a time of joy. However, the Baal Shem Tov, when he began to search for chametz, his students who had visited that year, a lot of students came together to be with Baal Shem Tov. They all they could sense that his search for chametz was done with a tinge, with colored. Yisrael, please give me a hand. Yisrael, I'm trying to get her to be quiet. With a tinge of bitterness, a tinge of sadness. And it was a very clear, clearly different the way the Baal Shem Tov usually behaved at that time. And the students were worried about it. The Baal Shem Tov finished searching for chametz more quickly than usual. And that night, the Baal Shem Tov spent a lot of hours in seclusion. And then he called together 10 of his students. He told them they should immerse themselves in a mikveh. They should say Tikkun Chatzos. You know what that is, Rosie? Tikkun Chatzos. It's a special prayer to ask Hashem to bring Mashiach. They should say that together outside of his room. And if they feel that the Baal Shem Tov is fainting, they should say special chapters of Tehillim to try to ask Hashem for salvation, because that's not good. So the Baal Shem Tov students did everything that that he asked them, and they stood outside his room, and they said Tikkun Chatzos, and they suddenly felt that he wasn't well. They suddenly felt that he was faint, in a state of faint, and they started saying the chapters of Tehillim that he told them to say if that would happen. And as they're saying these chapters of Tehillim, Reb Tzvi, the sofer, the scribe, comes out of the Baal Shem Tov's room, and he says the Baal Shem Tov is on the floor, and he's lying down on the floor, and he has fainted, and there's no sign of life in the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov looked like he passed away, Chas Hashem. So the students of Baal Shem Tov got very scared, of course. They started saying Tehillim and till the morning. When the morning came, more students of Baal Shem Tov arrived, and they also started saying, doing special yichudim, special Kabbalistic things to bring salvation for Jewish people. And they all realized this is really, really a serious situation, and they were doing this in these special prayers until suddenly the Baal Shem Tov, his breath came back. His breath came, he started to breathe again. But he was so weak that he couldn't. Usually, he would immerse himself before praying in a mikveh, and he couldn't. He was so weak that they had to carry him. He couldn't immerse himself in the mikveh. So when the Baal Shem Tov came out of the mikveh, he saw his eyes, his face was white. And that morning, the Baal Shem Tov told his students that they should say the prayers of the morning prayer before Pesach, which is always a joyous time. They should say it instead, say those prayers with the intentions, with the special Kabbalistic thoughts they had on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. And not only that, the Baal Shem Tov himself was the Chazan. He himself led the prayers. And he said this additional prayer of Aneinu. He said the additional prayer of Aneinu at that prayer. And of course, that scared all the students. Why is he saying the prayer for fasting, Aneinu, on the time of Pesach? And they were completely overwhelmed with fright. What's going on in the world? He knew the Baal Shem Tov is not just, you know, an individual. Whatever he is doing has connection to what's happening to the Jewish people. And so after the Baal Shem Tov finished his prayers, he shared a teaching with his students about trusting in Hashem. Teaching that's based upon these Sefer Chavis Levav, his duties of the heart, Shari B'tachin, gate of trust. And he explained to his students that trusting in Hashem means they don't trust in anyone else other than Hashem. There's nothing, they don't trust in anything else. And even if there's no room at all in nature for you to be saved, there's not even there's no straw to grab on. There's no way to be saved. Nevertheless, a Jew has his trust in Hashem without a doubt or a shadow of a doubt that Hashem will certainly help. That's what bitachon, that's what trusting in Hashem means. And Baal Shem Tov said that what strengthens bitachon, what strengthens our trust in Hashem is happiness. Happiness strengthens our trust in Hashem. And he told his students that they should not eat anything until midday. And then they should go again to immerse themselves in a mikveh, which they did. And then they began to do the prayer of mincha. And, I'm sorry, before doing the prayer of mincha, they went to go bake the matzahs. And this the Baal Shem Tov did with a sense of joy. However, after baking the matzahs with great joy, they came to do mincha. And again, the Baal Shem Tov said they should say the prayer of mincha again with the thoughts you're supposed to have on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the special Kabbalistic thoughts that elicit great mercy from Hashem at a time of judgment. So that's the thoughts they should say at the mincha prayer. And then after mincha, before Pesach, we also say the Korban Pesach. We say the details of how the Paschal Lamb is offered. And that too was also recited with a sense of bitterness. That night, the evening prayers, although it's Yontif, it's a holiday, the Baal Shem Tov said the prayer was also a mixture of happiness and bitterness and entreating Hashem. And also, usually at the Pesach Seder, the Baal Shem Tov would always share stories, he would share teachings, he would stop the Seder in the middle, and he would say lots of stories and teachings. As we know that the Alter Rebbe had many teachings that he heard from students of the Maggid, who heard from the Baal Shem Tov, special teachings that he would share at the night of the Seder. But that Pesach, Baal Shem Tov did not interrupt his Seder at all, although he said it out loud with a joyous tone, but there was this clear sense of bitterness, clear sense of something's wrong, and that's how the Seder went. And the students of Baal Shem Tov were saying the Seder very quietly and with a sense, an undertone of bitterness. All of a sudden, in the middle of all these bitter feelings, all of a sudden they saw that Baal Shem Tov was very, very joyous all of a sudden. They saw a fire in his face. He started to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and without stopping to laugh. He was laughing and laughing and laughing. And then he said, Mazel Tov, Baruch Hu uBaruch Shmei HaGadol, Baruch HaBoicher B'Moshe Avdei uB'Yisrael Amei. Blessed is Hashem, blessed is His great name, who has chosen in the Torah and Moshe His servant and the Jewish people His people. And Baal Shem Tov said, Yisrael Amei means Amei, even the simple people, the Jewish people, they are on the level of Yisrael. They are on the lofty level of Yisrael. Yisrael is the name of the Jewish people, but also according to Chassidus and Kabbalah, it denotes a higher kind of person. So Baal Shem Tov said that even Amma, even the simple Jews, are on the level of Yisrael. And they can accomplish more than Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. That's what he said. They can the simple Jews can accomplish more than the Baal Shem Tov. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said. And he, no one knew what the Baal Shem Tov was referring to. And no one wanted to ask the Baal Shem Tov what he meant. You know, it was, they're only students of the Baal Shem Tov. But the Baal Shem Tov explained what happened. The Baal Shem Tov was the first one in his generation to dedicate himself to better the financial situation of the Jewish people in his time. The Baal Shem Tov lived 50 years after the decree, after the terrible massacres of in 1650s of Tachentat. And so there was a real, not just the Jewish people still demoralized these 50 years later, but more than the demoralization, they were actually suffering financially in poverty. They couldn't recuperate from what they lost during the massacres and the pogroms that were happening in those years. So the Baal Shem Tov, even before he became known as a tzaddik, 3 years before he became known as the Baal Shem Tov, we have an exchange of letters between the Baal Shem Tov and Rabbi Adam Baal Shem. Letters back and forth. And Rabbi Adam Baal Shem was telling the Baal Shem Tov that he wants the Baal Shem Tov to reveal himself. He wants him to show that he can connect himself to the Jewish people. He shouldn't be secluded as a tzaddik by himself, but he should show everyone who he is. And Baal Shem Tov didn't want to do this. And in these letters, the Baal Shem Tov is already formulating a plan to save the Jewish people from the hardship they had from their poverty. The Baal Shem Tov saw that there was great opportunity in various villages in his time. There was many pritzim, many non-Jewish landowners that were nicer, which were upright, honest people, and they owned rivers, they owned hotels, motel, whatever, kretschmas, and they owned millstones. And the Baal Shem Tov saw there's a great opportunity for his students, for the Jews in that time, to be saved financially from their poverty. All they need to do is to invest in these villages. So Baal Shem Tov, in his letters to Rabbi Baal Shem, he was talking about this, what he sees as an opportunity. The Jewish people should move to these little villages, certain villages that he knew were better than others. And not just he had an idea, but he traveled around and he inspired people who were suffering financially to move to these villages. And he himself lent them money. He lent them money to be able to invest and buy a hotel, get the rights to use the rivers of these various landowners to rent these little hotels. And Baal Shem Tov also further, when someone couldn't pay their rent, Baal Shem Tov would go to the landowner and tell him and try to help the Jew who couldn't pay the rent. And if a Jew, landowners or people in their dungeons, if they couldn't afford to pay the rent, Baal Shem Tov would go and rescue them with pidyon shvuyim. That's what Baal Shem Tov was occupied with at that time. He was the first one in his generation to do this. So there's one student of Baal Shem Tov who had moved to a certain village. He and his wife, unfortunately, weren't blessed with children. And they were making their Passover Seder together. And it was a night, and Baal Shem Tov is sharing with his students what was going on. He said there was a village of 400 families in one of these villages, and there was decreed in heaven that Chas Hashem, on the first day of Pesach, they're going to be massacred. All these 400 families, Chas Hashem, are going to be killed. So Baal Shem Tov said that he saw one of his students making the Seder, he and his wife, and this guy makes Kiddush, and he has his first cup of wine. What happens after you have a cup of wine? After you have a cup of wine, what happens next? You get a little bit, you know? And his wife had a cup of wine. And he started telling his wife all that he knew about the suffering of the Jewish people in Egypt. And as he's telling this to his wife, he gets to the pasuk that the Egyptians threw all the Jewish boys in the river. When he got to that pasuk, his wife started to cry. And he said to his wife, "Why are you crying? Hashem saved us from Egypt. Why are you crying now?" And his wife said, "Because if I were Hashem, if I would have a child, I would treat my child a lot better than Hashem treats his children." That's what she said. "I would never do that to my child and throw him into a river." And he then she says, "Are we worse than all the Gentiles who are causing us so much suffering? Are we worse than them? Why do we have to suffer so much? It's not fair." And her husband is defending the ways of Hashem and saying Hashem does, even though we don't understand, Hashem is always at tzadik, whatever he does, even though we don't understand. And it's going back and forth. Meanwhile, they have their second cup and they're continuing the conversation. And she says to her husband, "You know, it doesn't make sense. We know the Torah says that Hashem always remembers the merit of our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And even though we don't have such great merits, but our forefathers and our grandmothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, they had great merits. And Hashem always remembers their merits. So it doesn't make sense. Hashem shouldn't rescue us and save us and help us because we have such great merits of our forefathers." And her husband is saying, Hashem does whatever he does. We don't understand, but it's always for a good reason. It's going back and forth between them. And Baal Shem Tov said that when the wife was talking about the greatness of the Jewish people and how they deserve the blessings of Hashem, when that was happening, all of a sudden these angels were coming near the throne of glory of Hashem and asking Hashem to protect the Jewish people. But he also saw that there were other angels that were accusing the Jewish people. He saw both. He saw angels accusing the Jewish people and angels defending the Jewish people. And so he was worried because he didn't know who's going to win. The angels were accusing the Jewish people, the angels defending the Jewish people. But the Baal Shem Tov saw that after they had their fourth cup of wine, you know what they did, Rosie? Guess what they did? They started to dance. They had so many cups of wine, they started to dance together. And with simcha. And the Baal Shem Tov was telling his students the power of trusting in Hashem. Baal Shem Tov said that with all of my prayers, it wasn't successful. And that's why I strengthened my trust in Hashem. And I saw, and he took out a handkerchief, told all of his students to hold on to the handkerchief, and they could see the husband and wife dancing together, and with great happiness. And and that's what their trust in Hashem and their happiness, that's what caused the salvation of the Jewish people, that village, Baruch Hashem, the decree was over, the decree was nullified. And this story was shared by the Alter Rebbe to his grandson, Tzemach Tzedek. When the Alter Rebbe told the story to his grandson, he added and he said something else. He said, "You have to know that although we have to trust in Hashem and everything, that's the true meaning of trusting in Hashem. You don't trust in anything else. And even if there's no possibility to be saved, just trust in Hashem anyways. Because you don't make any calculations when it comes to trusting in Hashem, that Hashem and Hashem alone will protect you." And that's what the Baal Shem Tov was trying to do to bring salvation. However, the Alter Rebbe said, this idea of trusting in Hashem is only relevant to yourself. When someone else has a problem, you can't say, "Oh, I trust in Hashem, Hashem will help them." You have to go and do whatever you can to help that person. For yourself, you can trust in Hashem. But for someone else, it's not enough just to trust in Hashem, you have to go do something. That's the first story I want to share. I want to share one more story. Okay, Rosie, one more story? Okay. This is a story, a very interesting story, which also highlights the power of the Jewish people and the power of teshuva. Even if someone has made a lot of mistakes, the power of coming back to Hashem, the power of trusting in Hashem. There was a chassid of the Chayez of Lublin. He was called the Chayz because he could see things happening far away. And his name was Avram Mordechai Pinshav. And he had three daughters to marry. He had to marry off his three daughters. He had no money. In those days, you only find a shidduch if you had some money to offer as a dowry. And so he came to his Rebbe, the Chayz of Lublin, and asked him, "What should I do? I want to marry off my daughters." And the Chayz of Lublin says, "You know what you should do? If you take my advice, you should travel to Krasnik." Where's Krasnik? You know where Krasnik is? You went to Krasnik? No. All right. Probably in Poland somewhere. Anyways, he went to Krasnik, and he went to this He went to this little kretschmer, little hotel, and he didn't have too much, and he had like these, he had a bag of books and he had a bag of clothing, and he looked, the amount of things he was carrying was disproportionate to other people that came to this hotel. So the owner of the hotel thought this guy was very wealthy, thought this guy was very rich. They kept on offering him food, kept on offering him drinks, but the guy didn't pay him yet. And then he was staying there for a while, and the owner of the hotel realizes, you know, this guy's bill is adding up, and he's not paying anything. And he realized that he's not such a rich guy. In his clothing and in his books, it's not worth so much. And he told his wife, you know, I am going to ask him for the money tomorrow. If he cannot afford to pay, I'm just going to take his books and take his clothing as payment and then send them off out of the hotel. All right. That night, someone comes over to this Avraham Mordechai, and he says to him the following. He says, I am the teacher of the owner of this hotel's children. I teach them Torah. And 10 years ago, he said, the owner of the hotel went on a business trip, and he made 10,000 ruble. And he came back home. He left the rubles in a box, and in a drawer in a table. And left the key to the table out, so I was able to take the key and take all the rubles. So I took all the rubles. My Yitzhar got the better of me. Evil inclination got the better of me. I took all the rubles. And I took all the rubles. I didn't want to use them because I felt bad. I took them. I felt bad. I stole. But the next day, when the owner of the hotel discovered that the 10,000 rubles were stolen, he was so upset and he was screaming and talking. No one suspected me. Why did anyone suspect me? No one suspected me because I was such an honest school teacher of his student of his children. No one thought that I would do this. No one thought that I would do anything. But I didn't want to use the money because I thought that I realized it was the wrong thing. On the other hand, I didn't have the power to give back the money. I know that I didn't have the integrity to give back the money, but I also didn't want to use the money. And even when my family was having a very hard time, and they were suffering, and they didn't have food, I never touched the money. He's telling this whole thing to Rabbi Avraham Mordechai from Pinchon. And now he says, I see you're an honest person. I want you to give the money back to the owner of the hotel, but I don't want you to tell him who gave it to you. I want you to go over to him and give him the money and say to him, I'm giving you this money, but you can't ask where I got it from. So the owner of the hotel, next day, he goes over to Rav Mordechai. Rav Mordechai says to him, I want to tell you something private. You can't ask me any questions. Let's make a deal. I'll tell you something private. You can't ask any questions. But okay. So he asks him, did you ever have a theft? So at first he said he never had a theft because he forgot it was 10 years before. Then he said, yeah, I did have a theft. Why? He says, here's the money. Here's the money that was stolen from you. And he made a deal. He couldn't ask him any questions where the money came from because he made a deal. But he was very curious. He asked this teacher, tell me, what brings you here to our town? Why did you come to Krasnik? So Avraham Mordechai said, I'll tell you why. My Rebbe said to me, I need to marry off my daughters and it would be good for me if I came here because that this is, will somehow help me with my daughters. So the owner of the hotel realized that the intent of the Chozel Lublin was that he, the owner of the hotel, should give him some of the money that it was to return to him and give it to this school teacher so he should have the money to marry off his daughters. And that's what he did. When Avraham Mordechai came back to the Chozel Lublin, the Chozel said to Avraham Mordechai, he said, I want to tell you the power of the tshuva, the power of the regret of this school teacher was so strong, I could not rest. I could not rest until I brought him to Chivat Batzak to feel, you know, again aligned with his neshama and to rectify the mistake that he made. And as we see from the stories the power of trust in Hashem, the power of bitachon, the power of joy, and Hashem should bless us all with a good chodesh l'chaim l'shalom v'simcha. Hey chaim shalom, l'chaim l'shalom v'sasim l'shul simcha l'shul nechama. Should be the emes of joy and whatever rachman l'tzlan gvura we've been experiencing the last couple of months, rachman l'tzlan Eretz Yisrael, and the challenges that the Jews have there and around the world, we should see all the decrees against Jewish people could be completely transformed to good. As you just said in the Havdalah, because Jewish people had light and joy, gladness and honor, we should see all this being transformed to good. And this is transformed to good, especially through our trust in Hashem. As the Baal Shem Tov says, the way to strengthen your trust in Hashem is with simcha, with joy and gladness. It should be a freilich avach, a good avach, and good absurdus for all of us, and all Am Yisrael. Chaim, Chaim, Mashiach now, freilich avach. Good avach, Chaim Shalom, good avach, Abba, good avach, David, good avach, Reberl, good avach, Yehuda.